From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to an amazing day in legal and political history in this world. Make no mistake, you are witnessing an enormous change in the way American politics is played and how it has infiltrated and contaminated the legal system. So in short, Donald Trump has become the first president in history to be indicted by a grand jury over an allegation dating back 7 years. Now, technically, it could be thrown out on the basis of the statute of limitations, that the time for charging in relation to the payment of hush money to porn actor Stormy Daniels has expired. And a long line, a conga line of lawyers have said exactly that. We are not talking the fraudulent misuse of money as president. We are not talking some heinous crime relating to the loss of life or extremely secret documents. This is not even close to what the Democrats allege over the January 6th riots. This is nothing more than, as many of those lawyers have described, a misdemeanor, even if proven correct. If proven correct. It's a terrible look for the Democrats in America, who have used the district attorney to trigger this indictment. A terrible look for the legal system, and a disgraceful look for America. This is not what they do to former presidents. And yet, there were opportunities in history. Think Nixon, think Clinton, where charges may have been warranted. But to take Trump on for this? Really? It just highlights the control the left has now on American way of life, its institutions, and worse still, its judiciary. I'll be crossing to Florida shortly and speak with political analyst Joe Hoft, who's been at Mar-a-Lago tonight, where Trump is at the moment, before he's expected to travel to New York to face a court. I'll get some reaction too from political commentator Chris Salcido in Texas, who's calling this a dark day for America. And political scientist Professor Joe Siracusa will join me too to discuss the political path to the White House for Donald Trump, if one still exists. Like, if he's charged, if he's in the middle of a trial, can he turn up and take the presidency while he's still in the middle of a trial? Because this is the way it may turn out, that the two events collide sometime in 2024. And is it even legal to run as a candidate whilst facing a trial? I want to hear from you today. This, as I say, is history. You no doubt have a view on the rights and wrongs of what has unfolded. So let's hear your opinions. Let's hear your views. This is Talkback Radio. No matter where you might be in the world right now, you have an opinion. You've been following the news. This is your turn to jump on the Talkback lines. If you're dialing in from the US or Canada, here you go. 1-888-201-6425. Is this crossing the line of reputable politics? Is this crossing the line of what you think is acceptable to Americans? If you want to dial in from the UK, could this happen in the UK, do you think? 033-0024-1026. And if you're dialing in from Australia or New Zealand, here's your number, 1-800-670-310. It's extraordinary. Today, I'm going to also get my colleague here at TNT Radio, Misty Winston, to join us and tell us about a major upcoming rally being arranged for Julian Assange. It just seems, after all this time, pointless even pursuing Assange at all after this long. But this is the point, you see, with what has happened today, who knows what the Democratic administration wants to do with Assange to make an example out of him. Because that's what they're doing with Donald Trump, using him to make an example out of him. What are they capable of doing with Julian Assange? So we'll talk to Misty about that rally occurring next month. on the program today. I'll be catching up too with PR queen and political commentator Prue McSween, who'll be having her say on the most divisive change in the Australian Constitution ever, the Indigenous voice to Parliament, and the widespread outrage from and towards transgender activists. What a two-week period it has been for issues related to transgender. It's just extraordinary. What a week it's been for that issue. A few other bits and pieces on the table, but we'll see where we get to within the next 2 hours together. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live from the Global News Network, TNTradio.live.
The latest headlines.
Politics are getting out of control.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is my say. The world has just witnessed Trump derangement syndrome to the max. How deranged do you have to be to shoot yourself in the foot? And you know the news already. A Manhattan grand jury has voted to indict Donald Trump for his role, allegedly, in paying hush money to porn star Stormy Daniels on the eve of the 2016 election. Bear in mind, there are any number of statutory declarations from Stormy herself saying that she did not have sex with Donald Trump. Trump said it was coming, the indictment, but everything went silent this week until late this afternoon, US time. Now, the former president will be required to come to New York next week sometime to face the charges, to surrender before the Democratic Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. Wouldn't you love to be in the same room when they came together? But what a twisted way to seek revenge. What a twisted way to stop a man becoming president again. Now, you don't need to be a MAGA member to see how cynical and pathetic this is. You may be a DeSantis disciple. That's fine. But you look at something like this and think, could DeSantis be next? The grand jury returned the indictment after a vote today, but this is after months trying to reach that decision urged on by the DA. Those 23 grand jurors only needed to find probable cause, and they had nothing in front of them from the defense. That's the way the grand jury system works. How much tougher is this going to be to prove before a trial jury? Different set of rules. But it seems incredible, almost third world, that the legal system in the United States would go after a former president on what is widely viewed as a misdemeanor from 7 years ago. It is a dangerous precedent, especially considering that both federal and state prosecutors have previously investigated these allegations and declined to indict. They said no. Now, all of that will transpire next week. It'll be mammoth as the world watches footage of a former president walking into the DA's office to be fingerprinted, have his mugshot taken, and possibly led into Manhattan court in handcuffs. The Democrats had their perfect image for social media, Donald Trump in handcuffs. It will be the first ever criminal case against a former US president. The images next week are set to mirror that of convicted Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein. Remember what happened to Harvey? Today, former Trump advisor Seb Gorka, who I've got a huge respect for, told UK Talk TV that the indictment of Trump will only add to his already large groundswell of support leading into next year's presidential election.
Well, look, let's just do the math. President Trump in the last election in 2020 received more votes than any other incumbent president since the Revolutionary War. So he received 74 million votes. It's truly a stunning figure. And as you remember when this first blew up about 10 days ago, when President Trump said, they want to arrest me, Manhattan, Alvin Bragg are going to go for it. Elon Musk, of all people, who's no big Trump fan, tweeted out, they have guaranteed he will be the 47th president of the United States. I tend to concur. Why? Because what has President Trump been saying for the last 6 years? There's a permanent bureaucracy, there's a deep state that hates me, that wants to destroy me. And now, guys, we have the empirical evidence. It's not a question. The proof has just been announced less than 2 hours ago. They have to destroy him because he's not a member of the political elite.
He's right. Trump was not a career politician. He put everyone's nose out of joint, including those in his own party. Trump himself reacted to the news by saying in a statement, his unprecedented indictment was political persecution and election interference at the high levels in history, calling Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg a disgrace. The Democrats, he said, have lied, cheated, and stolen in their obsession with trying to get Trump. But now they've done the unthinkable, indicting a completely innocent person in an act of blatant election interference. Now, fellow Republican and likely presidential nominee, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, said the weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. It is un-American, he said. The Soros-backed Manhattan district attorney has consistently bent the law to downgrade felonies and to excuse criminal misconduct. Yet now he is stretching the law to target a political opponent. Now, as to whether DeSantis himself as governor of Florida would help have Trump extradited from that state to New York, he said it clearly, Florida will not assist in an extradition request given the questionable circumstances at issue with this Soros-backed Manhattan prosecutor and his political agenda. There never seems to be a clear line between the judiciary and politics in the United States, and certainly not after today's events. While an indictment of any alleged crime may sound like a death knell for a politician on a ballot paper, this will play into Trump's hands superbly. He thrives on chaos and turmoil. Being a victim of the deep state is exactly what has made him popular. As Seb Gorka pointed out today, it makes the Democrats look so tactically stupid.
This is the weird thing about the left, whether it's the transgender mutilation of children or whether it's open borders, they're actually pretty stupid. They're not strategic thinkers. They're so driven by hatred, by their own bile.
In their own bubble as well. They don't see the outside, really.
And they cut off their nose to spite their face. Got to take him down. We've got to destroy him. Well, you're just going to guarantee that people who didn't support him say, this is nuts. This is bollocks. We're going to vote for him. So God willing, if we do our part, my old boss, the 45th president of the United States, is going to stroll back. Yeah, look, he's facing this senile old, as a friend of mine who has a radio show here says, you know, this rotten bag of oatmeal who called Biden. The idea that he's not going to be able to defeat him, especially after this, you have to be smoking Hunter Biden's crack pipe if you believe that.
Seb Gorka, of all the commentary in the UK, in the United States, and in Australia about this indictment, Seb Gorka nailed it today. And consider this, in 18 months to 2 years' time, this is the way politics is fought in America. Just wait for the retribution. Wait for the next Republican president, probably now Donald Trump, exacting revenge on what Joe Biden was up to. Where does the prosecutor start with him? American politics has entered into a repulsive zone where the judiciary and the law is used for political purposes. The people won't stand for this. Let's hope that fury is not manifested on the streets yet again. I fear it may. It will definitely be manifested, though, at the next presidential election. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare.
I like Trump. All right, so let me just throw it out there. I like Trump. When he won in 2016, I remember my wife and I woke up in the morning and we had a little celebration because every establishment media outlet was projecting a Clinton win. And it was so wonderful to see how he just turned that thing on its head. I know that Trump is flawed. He is a politician. Warp Speed was a disastrous campaign, and he's done a few other policy decisions as president that I didn't like, but it doesn't really matter because I'm not American, so I'm just an outsider observing. I kind of get the feeling, though, that he shouldn't run for president. I don't know. I think he had his time. I can't tell you why. I just somehow think that he's a little too cocksure of himself. I suspect Ron DeSantis might take him in the final lap. I'm not sure. But we'll see how it goes.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
emergency, police, fire or ambulance?
Yeah, g'day mate, need an electrician.
Do you need police, fire or ambulance?
No, I just need an electrician. I've got a couple of crappy PowerPoints I need to get changed
Look,
over.
Look, I'm sorry, I can only connect you to the police, fire or ambulance.
I need to talk to an electrician.
This is for emergencies only.
This is an emergency, I'm moving into the house and I need to get an electrician to change these PowerPoints.
000's sole job is to connect you to your nearest emergency service. So please, stay relevant and save 000 for urgent assistance only.
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Just before I go to Joe Hoft, an email from Alan. They didn't go after Trump when he was merely a former president. He's now a presidential candidate. Good differentiation, Alan. Lou in Canberra has a view. Lou, thank you for calling in.
Good afternoon, Smitty. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you.
Smitty, I've become a real cynic because politics has taught me well. It's taught me to become a cynic. Now, the cynic in me says, this is so ludicrous that it's a clown show. It's like I'm watching some comedy series on HBO. So why is my focus towards this man, right? Because let's face it, he's going to be the president in 2024. And I can't help but think, could it be the fact that the American dollar, the petrodollar, is tanking, it's falling? Could it be the fact that Saudi's signed a deal with China to refine oil? They're going to build an $80 billion factory. Is this got more to do with taking our attention away from things that are from a geopolitical perspective?
It's a fabulous distraction for the Biden administration, isn't it?
Because at the end of the day, if they haven't charged that bloke over that laptop, this is we're getting caught up in something that they want us to watch. They're saying, look over here, look over here. If Biden's son hasn't been arrested over this laptop, then this is... we're being taken for a ride.
Yeah. Not to mention the $1 million that went into the bank account of the Biden family. You're right, Lou. Oh. I think you've nailed it. This is a classic distraction, and it will be a distraction right up until the presidential election in 2024. Thank you very much for calling. We've got so much to cover and unpack in reference to the fate of Donald Trump. My first guest is on the ground, having just been outside Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Florida. Joe Hoft is a radio host at TNT Radio. He's an author, former international corporate executive in Hong Kong for a decade, and a contributor at the Gateway Pundit since 2016. Joe Hoft, your best-selling book had included in its title, The Impossible Occurs. You may have a trilogy on your hands now.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. Hey, it's an honor to be here. I was down at Mar-a-Lago tonight. I drove down there. I'm about an hour north. It's a beautiful place. It's a palace. It's just gorgeous, right on the inland waterway there, and some of the the top real estate in the world. It's a sad day in America right now. Americans are feeling the feeling is really, I think, rage. My initial reaction was rage. We've been through so much. I mean, we supported this guy because Americans, as much as the media was portraying Barack Obama as this great guy, in America, we were seeing our country just being slowly destroyed with just really some really corrupt acts. And the more we looked into it, the more we just felt sick. And then we had Hillary there, and it looked like Hillary was going to take it, and Trump came in, and I really believe he was the only guy that could have taken her. And he came in because he was electrifying because he was honest. And it was so refreshing. And he called the media what they were. They started just attacking him from the start. It became real clear for all of us just how much he was hated by this media and by the by not just the Democrat Party, Obama and Hillary, but the leadership in the Republican Party as well. They hated him because he came in and stole their pie. And so President Trump's been he's been under attack since before he walked into the White House and into the Capitol and did his inauguration. They were spying on him the whole time. There was a special task force in Obama's basement in the White House with all these people that are now running the government, and their whole path, their whole task was to get Trump, to set him up, to somehow tie him to Russia, and it was all a lie. And so that's really when I got involved. I started writing with my brother at the Gateway Pundit in 2016. We fell in love with Trump. We're like, this is so refreshing that one of these politicians is finally going to stand up for the American people and for honesty and start sharing the truth.
And he sounded not like a politician, which was so refreshing. Now, what is the mood?
Great.
Yeah, from the people that you have spoken to since this news broke a few hours ago, especially those on the ground in Florida, what's been the overwhelming reaction to you face-to-face?
Well, it was, I'll have to say it was a relatively small crowd because they've got a lot of construction going on down there on the bridge and near his place. So there's no place to park and you'd have to walk. And I did about a half a mile to get to, you know, the spot where you could see Mar-a-Lago and where there's people standing out front with Trump flags and American flags. And you know, people were very upset and there's cars driving back and forth honking and flags and people are really we're getting worn down, Chris. It's like the constant beating of the communist regime pushing you down, stealing your rights, demoralizing you. And we've been going through this, but, you know, this is a free country and it's been a real free country. That's the thing that hits me. You know, these commies, they've never had a country that's been so free that they've tried to take. And Americans aren't buying this stuff. We don't buy the media anymore, despite 99%. And there were some stats, and I've written about this, just the media's just constant attacks on Trump and pro-Obama, pro-Hillary, pro-Biden. And, you know, Americans see right through it now. And then we're finding out now that our own government was working with big tech like Twitter and using American taxpayer dollars to censor conservative voices like the people that are on this channel, TNT Radio.
Disgraceful. But you hit the nail on the head there, Joe. You cannot separate what's occurred to Donald Trump in the last 4 or 5 hours with the way the Biden administration has operated for the past 2 years. It is about control. It is about them setting the agenda and a narrative which follows a communist path and not a path of freedom.
Well, this is it too, Chris. And as I look at this and the people down there, so there's flags and there's a lot of police cars there. There was a lot of news places there. I was on Fox News for about a couple of minutes. Some people told me I did a live stream. Some people were listening in and watching it. And then there was the pundits on TV. And, you know, one guy says Jason Whitlock did a lot of sports here in the U.S. for years. Really nice guy, black guy. He said, you know, I've never voted before, but I am mega tonight. I am, you know, people are livid. And going into this, it was 70% of independents were saying that this was political. 90-some% of Republicans, even 25% of Democrats. America knows this is a sham. Now, here's the kicker, though, Chris. We just had an election. I've written a couple books on it, and I'm finishing actually my third book on the cover-up and about the election. And I was a corporate auditor, and I've been down to Australia a number of times in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne and did a lot of work for a Fortune 500 U.S. corporation. And I started looking at this from an Audi perspective in the 2020 election, and it's like it never should have been certified. It absolutely not. We wouldn't accept this in the corporate world. It was so broken in so many ways, and I could go into a list. Maybe sometime I can
make it
back.
Let's do that another time. I want to ask you about the statute of limitations. How is this even feasible given the statute of limitations? It's 7 years ago.
It's insanity. I guess, you know, and Chris, my point is that nobody's really saying is this is what regimes do when they have power and when they know they're going to win the next election. And it's not that they're going to win it. To me, they're going to steal it. They're bold. They're demoralizing. They're doing things like this that we've never seen before in this country.
However, Joe, I can only see this turning out one way, which is a major backfire in the face of the Democrats.
Well, it is, and it will be. And Absolutely. But here's my point, Chris. I'm just basing this on my opinion, right? But President Trump won 2020 with 75 million. The most ever was Barack Obama, 69. Yeah. President Trump crushed it. He had 1.1 million people at his rallies compared to Biden's 2,000. And Biden somehow ends up with 81 million. I mean, I could go through these statistics. The election in 2020 was a mess. And we've got to fix, this is my spiel, is we've got to fix our election, because it doesn't matter how livid we are. These people are bold. They're emboldened. We had a great radio show host in the U.S., Rush Limbaugh, who said before the 2020 election, he said, these people are done with elections. They don't like having to defend their policies. Nobody's buying them. I mean, it's insanity. Inflation, Afghanistan, open border. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And the things that you've mentioned before in the segment before this, it's a mess here. And people say, what's going on? Joe Biden, everybody knows this guy's senile. We know, we've had older people in our families. We look at him, we say, this guy's, you know, he can't get out of bed at night and make it to the bathroom alone. Mm. I mean, this guy, he's a mess. We all know that. And it's again, more demoralizing. And we've got this hero named Donald Trump that's continued to fight and stand up. I don't think he really, probably down deep, really wanted to run again. I think he probably felt like, I'm going to do this a couple times and I'm done and we're going to hand it over. But I feel like he felt like he had to. And you talk to these people that are around him, they say, we don't deserve Donald Trump. This guy is such a good man. And here they are now, there's now saying 34 different crimes that they're going to charge him with. I mean, for 7 years, we've been going through this.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. There's only so much Americans can put up with. We're going to be watching your reports from the Florida area, and in particular, what Donald Trump might do in the next 2 or 3 days. And thank you very much for finding time for me and the program. Thank you very much for that, Joe.
Yeah, God bless. And God loves Australia.
Good on you, Joe. Thank you very much. Joe Hoft, who went to Mar-a-Lago this afternoon, and he's there this evening in Florida. Who knows when Donald will head over to the West Coast, but he has to face this indictment. I'll get to more of your calls in just a second. So many people want to have something to say, and then I'll catch up with Professor Joe Siracusa as well. At TNT Radio, you know we never go home. That's right. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Big news, news, news.
A story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Authorities in the US are bracing for violence after former US President Donald Trump was officially indicted on Thursday. Washington has urged Americans who are living in or traveling to Russia to leave the country immediately after a US reporter was arrested on suspicion of espionage. And Britain has announced it'll start using artificial intelligence to detect foreign threats that it says are often overlooked by humans.
You're listening to Chris Smith
on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I want to get an insight from Professor Joseph Siracusa in just a second, but let's get back to the talkback lines, if you'd like to have your say. From Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Or the US and Canada, 1-888-201-6425. As I always say, don't wait until we tell you what the number is. Write it down, because one day, like today, you're going to want something to say and wish you could have the number in front of you. So write it down, put it under TNT in your phone. Let's go to Sydney now. Jay is on the line. Hi, Jay.
Good afternoon, Chris. What a fantastic Friday we've got. Happy birthday to Eric Clapton, 78 years old today. Can you believe that? 78 years old. Trump being indicted? Well, what can we say? It's been in the news for the last 2 years. Nothing new. Nothing news. What do you say?
Except for the fact that they have taken something that's 7 years old, that is a misdemeanor, that is exceeded the statute of limitations to prevent someone becoming president. Who's next, Jay?
Well, who could be? There's a lot of people in line, mate. But I got to tell you something, it's a bit of a sad day for Sydney. The passing of the doctor, the Right Reverend Doug Mulray.
Yes. For those who don't know Uncle Doug, for those in Australia, he was one of the most prolific radio announcers in modern radio history in Australia, and he died. You know, I caught up with Uncle Doug in November. We were both getting our tyres changed at a place in Artarmon in Sydney, and there we were sitting in the waiting room together. A third person introduced us. We knew who each other were. We got talking for about an hour and a half, Jay. What a fascinating, funny, electric character he was.
The best radio breakfast personality on earth, as far as I'm concerned. Do you think that they should be pulling the Blackhawks down?
I don't know. You talking about the two Blackhawks that had a crash in Kentucky?
USA. Yeah. It's just amazing how they're still flying.
It is. Too many accidents. I've got to go to Joe Siracusa. Jay, thank you very much for calling in and appreciate your two bobs worth. Well, Trump's indictment does turn genuine justice in the United States on its head and will surely have major consequences, not for the United States, but just for the world. Is this really a legitimate way to execute a political opponent? Professor Joseph Siracusa is Dean of Global Futures in the Faculty of Humanities at Curtin University. He is leading expert in American politics, foreign policy, and international security. He supervised the completion of 40 PhDs and more than 150 master's and honors students, regularly presents at international conferences, and has volunteered his time to lecture at high schools. He joins us now from Perth, WA. Joe, just when we thought that this was just a faint prospect, kapow, the cuffs are out. Your reaction?
Yes. Look, as a guy born and raised in Chicago, I grew up in a system that was as crooked as a fish hook, okay? Once the law comes after you, they can make it up as they go along. It's like the taxation guys. Once they get stuck into you, they just make it up as they go along. Look, I think President Trump's done some interesting things. Some of those things in his personal life I do not like, but there's no doubt in my mind that he's being screwed around here. But I'll tell you this about the prosecutor about the DA in Manhattan.
Alvin Bragg.
He played Trump on this one. He played him like a fiddle. He gave him the impression the indictment was around the corner and then nothing happened for 2 weeks. And there was a rumor passed on, gratefully, by the New York Times that the jury was going to be out for about a month. And then he hits him. He hits him today, of all days. Chris, this is the opening of Major League Baseball. This is the day that Trump is going to have trouble getting onto the front page of a newspaper. This is like arresting Dan Andrews on grand final day. It's just one of those days where it's just a hell of a day to find out you have an indictment. And of course, there'll probably be some other indictments. And I read on CNN just before I came on your show that there are 30 indictments coming down the road. That is from this one case of paying off Stormy Daniels.
Now, 30 indictments. Give me a break.
Yeah, they're just turning this into an industry. They're going to try to catch him with something. Now there are more people. This is the first time in my lifetime that a prosecutor at the state level is going after the president, because even the Department of Justice has been very wary about going after sitting presidents and very wary about going after presidents who've left their office. So, you know, we have thousands of counties in America, thousands or hundreds of cities. That means any prosecutor from any city can indict the president of the United States. Now, look, it is historic in this sense. He is the first president who is going to be arrested like this. But let me tell you, there are a lot of them that should have been arrested. Okay,
yes.
He got away with murder. You know, I have lived through 14 presidents in my lifetime, and all of them done some things that are very dangerous and probably against the law. And they certainly are very close to against the wind there. And some of them were just awful. I mean, Dick Nixon He probably escaped a bullet. And of course, Bill Clinton should have been arrested for the Whitewater scandal and all the rest of it. And there are a whole lot of people out there, but they're going after Trump. And of course, the Rosetta Stone to understanding this is that the people who don't like Trump, the people in authority, they've always taken all of his claims literally, but they don't take him seriously. His followers, which are about the same number as the people who hate his guts, have always taken him literally, but not seriously. So, you know, this claim about Stormy Daniels, I mean, $130,000 to shut up somebody who's actually blackmailing you, for God's sakes. You know, she wants money to talk about the night they had together. Now, of course, the idea that Trump is beholden to people who can blackmail him with this, you know, suggests that he ought to pick his girlfriends more carefully. The thing is that this doesn't change much in a sense that those who like him aren't going to do any, aren't going to care about these charges. And those who have been after him, and they had been after him for 8 years, you know, the minute he came down that golden escalator, and I've been tracking him and everything he said and done, and he's been treated very, very badly. He has gotten through the Mueller report, which was a put up job. And then he got through impeachment one and impeachment two. He got through the January 6th thing so far. And of course, I take great exception to the raid on his home in Mar-a-Lago. I've written in other places that it was the worst misuse and abuse of FBI power since they were dogging and taping Martin Luther King on the road when he was.
But that obsession, Joe, can come back and bite you on the bum, can't it?
Oh, it certainly can. I mean, look, we all know that the pendulum will swing the other way. A lot of these people who are doing this, they may think they're following some great tradition. And, you know, and I hear this, excuse the French bullshit, that they're above the law, that presidents are not above the law. Well, nor are the people prosecuting the presidents above the law. Okay. These people, some of them should be sued for vexatious interference in his life. Some of them should be just frankly arrested for phony prosecutorial baloney. That's what this stuff is. Look, I've seen this before, and this guy's coming after him like a bulldog, but he did play him pretty well. He has the president on the back foot. And of course, the president will be, he'll be arraigned, you know, he'll be fingerprinted. There'll be the mugshot, and the mugshot will be on 10,000 t-shirts in 48 hours, selling for $25 each. I'll tell you that too. And then he's going to have the handcuffs on, and he's going to kind of pose himself as, you know, Jesus Christ, that he is the victim here. Yes. Well, he's not a victim. You know, sometimes he could have been a little smarter about these things. But look at the people in his life. Stormy Daniels wants to tell a story. She's tried to tell it at least five times in her career. And then he's got Michael Cohen. I wouldn't trust Michael Cohen to carry the beer. I mean, he looked like a shifty character anyway. And then we got a whole lot of people around the president who are always going to do him in. And of course, a lot of the people, a lot of his lawyers sort of come and go, mainly because he doesn't want to pay them too much anyway. And so, and after 8 years of going after him, his enemies found out there was nothing you can do to fix this guy. And he won't go away.
No, he won't. Can I ask you this question? Do we have a situation in 2024 where he turns up at a rally to press his credentials for president while then turning up in the afternoon in court to face charges in a trial? Could we get to that fanciful stage?
Oh, yes, sir. We're there right now. I mean, this is a combination of Dragnet and Dallas and Dynasty all at once. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. There is, as I said the last time I think I was going to show, there are no rules in the Constitution that says he cannot campaign while under prosecution, and there are no rules that he can't be president while he's in prison. I mean, there are no restrictions here, so he can combine the two of them as he goes along. And, of course, what they've done is this. If they would just have left him alone, he would have died of boredom. But by trying to arrest him and coming up with all these charges, they have actually fed the fire. They've given this guy all the oxygen in the room. If you want someone to disappear, just walk away.
Correct. They've resuscitated him, Joe. That's the problem. I've got to get to a break, but you've been most incisive once again, as usual. Thank you very much for your time.
Happy to help. Thank you.
Okay, Professor Joseph Siracusa. He puts it so superbly, doesn't it? I like it where he said he should pick his girlfriends better. That's interesting. Let's go to the talkback lines. Ben in the Gold Coast in Australia. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
It's all happening over there, mate, isn't it? Now, I think America's biggest problem is that the Democrats' dream is actually MAGA's nightmare. And the Democrats think the best way forward is to incarcerate Trump and co.
And
a large segment of MAGA thinks the only solution is to remove the Democrats. So the United States of America is acting like the welded states of America, Chris. And we know Trump was on record in Waco, and he said either the deep state destroys America or we destroy the deep state. And you have somebody like Marco Rubio coming out saying there is no deep state. And the fact that President Trump mentions a deep state speaks to his own incompetence. But then you have Rand Paul coming out and saying there is a deep state and it's a threat to our democracy. How do you define the deep state?
Oh, I define the deep state of people who are acting as individuals beyond what their job description entails. And that would be someone like Bragg, a fellow who is operating under Soros, probably in need of paying back Soros, a fellow who wants to deliver to the Democrats what he promised he would and will do everything he can to do so, which is outside of his remit. It's outside of his pay deal as the DA, as the district attorney. I think that is the deep state, and he's proved it today with what he's done with this particular indictment. Thank you very much for your call, Ben. I've got Janie coming through from California. Hi, Janie.
Reading an article just yesterday, sorry for the noise, I'm driving.
That's
and
okay.
This young lady is suing this convalescent home that her mother was in because her mother wound up being raped by a caregiver, and this is in New York, and she was the product of this rape, and her mom had a brain equivalent to a two-year-old when she was raped by some caregiver. And she's actually suing the state of New York and everything, even though it's past the statute of limitations, because this year they have, New York has rescinded the statute of limitations for 1 year. Only 1 year, and after this 1 year, then the statute of limitations starts again. So I believe this is an intentional thing to try to get Trump on this whatever frivolous charge it is.
Yeah, I think you might be right. You know, when you start tampering with the statute of limitations, which has been a long-held covenant within the legal fraternity worldwide, you start to tamper with the way people can be convicted or not convicted, and that is not the way the law was meant to be manipulated. But you've detected it, Janie. Thank you very much. Keep your eyes on the road, won't you?
Yes, of course.
Thank you very much. Janie in California, driving with a view on the statute of limitations. I'm going to catch up next hour with Chris Cicido, who's a Texan radio and television host and political analyst. He has got enormous things to say about what today represents for Americans. But we'll talk about Julian Assange right after the break. Now, if you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, you simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. It's easy to navigate to. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. And there's more to come too, by the way. I'm reliably informed today. Now, there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
A problem with eating bugs has emerged. Insects can feel pain and suffering. So the animal rights movement may save us from having the Great Reset force us to eat the bugs.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
According to Wired Magazine, insects have the capacity to feel pain and suffering. and new demands for welfare standards for bugs are being offered up as a solution to human-caused climate crisis. A philosopher at the London School of Economics, Jonathan Birch, says, "We're at the starting point of a conversation about insect welfare." Remember, Australian schools are giving kids in elementary school cricket snacks. Europe has just approved cricket powder for human consumption. CNN is pushing cockroach milk on us. But how can we eat something that feels pain? This is just as cruel as eating a cow or a lamb. Grab the popcorn and watch as animal rights activists will now be battling the Great Reset. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Close your eyes and think about this. Imagine taking your child to school where all the other kids have access to textbooks, paper, and pencils, but your child is only allowed to listen. Would you be okay with that? That's what it means to be blind. For every 100 books a sighted child can access, a blind child has access to less than 5. Help put the world at the fingertips of vision-impaired kids. Donate now at braillehouse.org.au.
You're with Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, what a day. We'll get back to the story of Donald Trump being indicted a little later in the program. For those who missed the first hour, they can catch up with all of this when we catch up with Chris Salcido, who says this is a dark day for America. And it absolutely is a very dark day for America. Misty Winston is my colleague here at TNT Radio. You hear her before I jump on behind the microphone. And you've heard her defend Julian Assange endlessly. She's part of a group of supporters who want to see justice in reference to the Australian Julian Assange, the publisher, the journalist. I was just sort of counting up the years this morning of how long he's been either self-detained or arrested and therefore incarcerated. We're getting close to 13 years now. It is ridiculous. 13 years. Misty Winston is joining us right now. Misty, can you believe that we've watch this unfold for 13 long years? It's appalling, isn't it?
It really is. And first of all, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it. But yes, the idea that this has been going on for 13 plus years, the idea that he has been held in Belmarsh Prison in London, which is a Category A equivalent to the United States Supermax. And he has no history of violence. In fact, he has no charge right now. Currently, he's being held on remand. And so the idea that we're 13 years into this, we're 4 years into his imprisonment, and people still don't really seem to care all that much is really, it's depressing, frankly.
Well, yeah. Let's think about this. This is Guantanamo Bay kind of stuff. We believe that he's a danger, but we'll hold him. We won't charge him, but we'll hold him indefinitely. They can't do that for much longer, surely.
You would think not. And I think, honestly, they don't intend to. I'm not sure, honestly, that they even want him to be extradited to the United States. I think that, frankly, we know this to be true because Julian Assange, in fact, released the Stratfor files. And in there was a conversation that took place where they were trying to decide what to do, how they could handle their Assange problem. And one of the ways in which they developed in order to handle Julian Assange and to keep him silenced was to tie him up in legal stuff for the next 25 years. And we've known that for some time now that this was their intent, was to just really kind of get him isolated, get him silenced, disappear him from public consciousness, and then drag that out for as long as humanly possible to keep him quiet.
I was drawn to something I saw on Twitter a couple of nights ago, which was a statement from Julian himself, and comparing what he has done with what Mark Zuckerberg does every single day. Let me say the quote and get your view on it. You've heard it before. What's the difference between Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, and I? I deliver private information belonging to companies free of charge, and I am a bandit. Zuckerberg is handing over your private data to corporations for money, and he's the man of the year. How pathetic.
Right? It really is. It's kind of amazing. It really is kind of amazing. And it's we speak about this all the time in regards to this case. What Julian Assange and WikiLeaks was intended to do was to really be an intelligence agency for the people, to start holding power to account, to start exposing their crimes and corruption. And that was the goal of WikiLeaks. And so and currently what we have is a situation where, you know, people in power have all of the privacy in the world and the people of the country have none. I mean, it is completely completely they know everything about us. They know what size shoe we wear, where we shop, where we get our gas, where our kids go to school. They know everything about us, and we know nothing about the things that they're doing in our name. And WikiLeaks sought to kind of flip those tables, because that's the way that it should be. There should be full transparency for people in power, and the people should have their privacy. And we need to flip-flop that. And so that was the goal of WikiLeaks to begin with. So yeah, it is mind-blowing to me that we celebrate somebody like Mark Zuckerberg, who knowingly sells all of our data for profit and who seeks to manipulate and control the way that we think algorithmically. The idea that is somebody that we hold up on a pedestal as like Time's Man of the Year, as Julian Assange continues to languish in Belmarsh Prison under some of the worst conditions known to man. That's something that we accept. And it's really, again, really depressing. It just really is.
Yeah, terrible blight on our management. Can I tell you that I've had some people say to me when they knew I was talking about Julian Assange, send me a note and say, oh, what about the people, the undercover agents, the US agents around the world that he put in danger? What's your refutation to that when you hear people mount that argument?
Well, that's actually been very thoroughly debunked. In fact, the United States government admitted to it in court and has on a couple different occasions that there is actually no evidence that the WikiLeaks releases has ever put anybody's life in danger. In fact, quite the opposite, if you think about it. And it's always really interesting to me when people bring that up as if it's some kind of justification for the treatment that he's receiving, when in fact what he did was expose the war crimes of people that, I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, and it's again been debunked that any of the WikiLeaks releases has ever put anybody in danger. But even if there had been a small circumstance where something like that happened, some names got through accidentally through their very thorough redaction process. The WikiLeaks team had a very extensive redaction process. But even if something did happen to leak through, it pales in comparison to the crimes that were exposed by WikiLeaks. The horrendous war crimes, rape, torture, murder, just an unbelievable amount of chaos, death, and destruction. So that's been proven to not be true. But it also really doesn't matter at this point. And that's my opinion.
Okay. April 11 marks the 4-year anniversary of the arrest of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. And so activists and supporters are joining together in Washington, D.C. What are the arrangements?
So we're going to be at the Department of Justice. It is a Tuesday. We realize that that's a little bit tricky for people, but there were a couple different reasons for that. First of all, it is the actual day, the anniversary of his arrest from the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Also, because it's a Tuesday, there will actually be people working in the building. So we'll be protesting to an empty building. That's the reason why we chose the time 4 to 6 p.m. Because that will be the time that some people will starting to get off work and traveling through the streets. We'll get a lot more traffic that way. So we're going to be 4 to 6 p.m. outside the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, April 11th. Again, that's the 4-year anniversary of Julian Assange's arrest. It is absurd that it has been able to continue for this long. So we really need as many people out as possible to make some noise, try to call attention to this and put some political pressure on the people in charge of this thing, which it's important to note. This is a bipartisan effort. He was arrested under Trump. It's being continued under Biden. This is a bipartisan arrangement and an attack on Julian Assange and journalism. So we really just need everybody to come together. I don't care who you voted for. Don't care what books you read. I don't care what ism you subscribe to. If you want to fight to free Julian Assange and you want to fight for the future of press freedom, then you can come join us.
As you've often said, journalism is not a crime. It is the criminalization of truth, this arrest, and particularly given how long it's gone for. Thank you, Misty. Much appreciated. Thank you very much for
staying.
Thank
you, Chris.
Good on you. Misty Winston will be organizing all of that. April 11, if you're in Washington, D.C., that is one place you've got to go. I want to go to Julie in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales. Julie, go right ahead.
Hi, Chris. I just have you read the new proposed change to the massive change to the Constitution?
I've read the details of the voice, the Indigenous voice to Parliament. I've been covering it extensively. What in particular are you wanting to comment on?
Oh, just it's a brand new chapter right at the back, and it's right. A brand new section, so it's not a little amendment. And in the recognition of the Aboriginals, I just wanted to tell you about the legal definition, because the Constitution's a legal document, so it has legal consequences.
Okay, I've got 60 seconds with you. Go for your life.
The recognition of legal term means the process whereby certain facts are accepted and viewed with a legal status such as statehood. And statehood means creating an independent state or nation. And this is what they're doing. They're creating an independent state which will turn into a nation under international law. And because we've signed treaties, the three main treaties about the Aboriginal self-determination, we will be under international law, so they won't have to go to the Australian court. And they will have a treaty that, and compensation will have to be paid, the same as what's happening in all the other countries around the world that have decolonised.
We've got to keep our eye on all of that. Julie, thank you very much for phoning in. And after the news, I will have something a little bit more comprehensive to say about The Voice, and in particular, some support for the no vote from a very unlikely quarter. We'll talk about that. And we'll go to Texas and get some more analysis on the indictment of Donald Trump. We'll be back after that and take more of your calls on TNT Radio. Good to have your company.